Welcome to LOA Today. Walt Thiessen and life coach Linda Armstrong here. Today is Friday, August the 10th, 2018, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, your second daily dose of happy for the day and last for the week because the weekend is almost upon us here. People are getting ready to finish up their day, go home, maybe take the family to head off for the beach for the weekend or go to the mountains or whatever they're doing to stay cool during this beautiful August summer that we're having. And Linda, I know that my week's been busy. I think we said before the podcast yours was too, but I hope you've been having a good one.
Yeah, it's a good one. Just very busy, but it's good busy. I've been creating an online course, and I'm just really diligently working on all the elements to it.
Oh, that takes a lot of work too. I've done that kind of thing before. I mean, I know what you're going through. Creating a course takes a lot. You have to think through everything, right? You have to, you know, figure out every facet and who's going to need this, and you know, if this comes up, what's going to happen. You have to work out all the different details like that.
Yeah.
That's good. Well, we were talking before we got going. Well, first of all, actually, we should probably get into the pattern that we normally do with the other co-hosts. That is, we talk about things that went well, wins that we had for the week and so forth. Things, and they can be just anything. It's not like, oh, here's a major manifestation I did this week. I mean, if you get that, we love to hear about that. But we just like to share, you know, just even mundane things, everyday ordinary things, just to kind of pick the energy up and set the tone for the podcast. So yeah. I'll start by telling you that today was a much calmer day for me than the other 4 days of the week, which I really, really enjoyed. I actually got more done as a result because everything was very calm. It was very, you know, under control. I even when I was doing my segment intending, it was easy. I didn't have to fight my way up. So that was my biggest win of the day of all, the fact that this was an easy day. That was a nice change from the rest of the week. So
yeah.
How about you? Okay. Anything? Any wins coming to mind that you can think of?
I guess my wins would be, I think I kind of moved out of that busy have to do energy because I don't know, there's the energy, I think, on the planet, because I see this a lot, was very much of this pushed, rushed, kind of a heavy energy to get things done.
Mm.
And then, and I was really stuck in that, but then I had the awareness of, I'm like, oh my God, I'm really like, this is the wrong energy to be creating from. And I shifted that to being like light and easy and like, you know what, it's just going to go with its own flow. And by making that shift, I actually really shifted into creating from a different space without feeling that pressure to get it done and just allowing it to take its course, you know? So I got a lot done this week.
That's good.
From an easier energy.
Right. That's really good. Yeah. Well, it's kind of similar to what happened to me today, except for me, it was the day. For you, it was the week, which is even better. This morning, I was telling Tom Wells about how I awoke at about 1 a.m. fretting like crazy. Couldn't go back to sleep, you know, all negative thoughts and just, you know, negative spiraling and so forth. I said, oh, I got to stop this. And I'm trying various techniques. I'm not getting anywhere. Finally, I actually just got up, went into the other room where we have the office where I do the podcast from and did some mirror exercises just to get myself back into alignment. I got up in the middle of the night to do this.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just how far out of alignment I was at the time. But by the time we were done with the podcast this morning, I was much better. And boy, did it pay off for the day. The day went just so smoothly.
Do you meditate at all?
I don't meditate the way most people mean that. I've never found meditation, the traditional approaches to meditation, to be anything that I could successfully focus on. It just didn't work for me in the way it seems to work for other people. I've done walking meditation. That has worked for me. I've focused on my breathing, and in that sense of meditation, that's worked for me. But the other kinds that people do, I don't know. I've just never really gotten into it.
Yeah. Okay. Because I can always shift my energy just by quieting in that space, you know?
Yeah.
Well, so meditation, maybe what you can do is just to watch the thoughts.
If I do that, I stay awake. That just keeps me awake. That is the opposite effect.
But no. But you need to look at it from a different point of view. It's like, oh, that is just a thought, you know, without having the energy, the heavy energy attached to it, if there are heavy thoughts that are keeping you awake, right?
The kind of thing I was trying. And that's what was not working for me. That's why I got to do the mirror exercises. I knew I had to just shift my entire attention, and mirror exercises do that. So,
all right. So good. That works.
Yep. Yeah, you do whatever works, right?
That's right.
I mean, it doesn't really matter what the modality is. Just if it works, it works. If it doesn't, move on to the next one.
Yeah.
So we're talking today about receiving signs, receiving signals, messages from our inner being, from spirit, from the other side, from however you want to term it, which is a topic we've addressed in a number of ways with other co-hosts. Winnie and I, for instance, did quite a bit of talking about this on the podcast. Mm-hmm. She has a really interesting way that she gets messages. And I keep saying this every time I bring this up about her, but I continue to be so impressed with the fact she can do entire complete conversations with her inner being. And I'm thinking, boy, do I want to get there? I'm not there yet. But to have that level of communication is just wild. Now, is this similar to what you're talking about when you, because you mentioned the idea of receiving signs from spirit. Is that the same idea, or do you have a slightly different take on what this is all about?
Well, it is about opening up to receiving guidance from your guides, your higher self, loved ones, whatever that might be. Mm-hmm. But, recognizing it, because we're getting signs all the time. Mm. It's just that people don't always realize or they just don't see it. Mm-hmm. But it's there. So it's kind of like you can imagine your guides, they're sending you all this stuff and you're not getting it. And they're like, oh my God, she's still not getting it. How many more times can I send this?
Right.
A new way, can I do this? So part of it's just opening to the awareness that you can actually receive guidance, whether it's your higher self, your inner being, whatever you want to call that energy, or guides outside of you. Mm-hmm. It's there for you. So that can help you with everything in your life.
Well, it is interesting. I did have an experience today that I'm kind of thinking maybe along this same topic. Because one of my favorite things to do, of course, all of our listeners know this, one of my favorite things to do is go walking. And as I'm walking, I have my iPhone with me and my headphones plugged in, and I'm listening to my favorite music, all very positive type themed music. And that combination invariably gets me into a great mood. So I was out doing that again today, and I got into a really good space, and I got thinking about this. I mean, I didn't know we were going to do this topic today, but I got to thinking about this idea of, receiving signals, receiving messages from my inner being, from what I like to call the other part of me. In the process of doing that, I was in a very good space. I was feeling really good. I'd gotten myself into that high vibrational place that Abraham talks about. And in that space, I put out there, I really would like to learn better about how to receive this stuff. How do I, where are the messages coming in that I'm missing? And do you know that the lyrics of the next song that came up answered my question?
Oh, yeah.
And in the middle of the lyrics, I said, this is kind of cute. And so I started to formulate another question. And before I could even finish the question, the lyrics answered that question. And so I started to get the realization, they're trying to communicate to me through lyrics. That's a clever idea.
You know what would be a fun thing to do? And I wish I would have done this week, is to write it down when it happens. I mean, I've had a few experiences this week, and they were kind of not in the, like that, that way is a very common way for me to get messages. But this came, I had a question in my mind. Next thing you know, it just showed up. It was like on my computer somewhere, or an email that came, I don't know what it was. And this happened like 3 or 4 times this week. And after like the fourth one, and which I don't remember any of them right now, I thought, or when I tried to remember what they all were, because I wanted to tell my husband, I can't believe all these signs I got this week. I couldn't remember them.
Doesn't that drive you nuts? I get that occasionally where I get something that comes through and I forget to make a note of it and it's gone. I mean, I just can't get it back.
Yeah, I think maybe I'll just have create a journal just for those types of things, because they're great examples for people on ordinary things that happen throughout your day that you take for granted that you normally don't notice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I think I'm going to start doing that, writing them down so that they are readily available for me to share with people. But that happens all the time. And the thing with the songs, oh my God, I get these. I can give you a few examples where it really hit home with getting a message from a song. And it's a little kind of heavy because my sister had passed away in October. And while she couldn't speak, and I couldn't really connect with her through my voice, I decided to connect with her soul. So I just kind of went into that meditative space, and I started talking to her on a soul level and asking her, what's going on? Are you ready to leave? that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Now, the funny thing is, when you start doing this kind of communication that I'm speaking about now, a lot of times you think it's your own voice, your own, like you think you're making it up. And you're like, you know, am I really speaking to someone outside of me, or am I really speaking to my sister's soul right now? That kind of thing.
Right. Well, sure. Yeah. I mean, it's a natural question to ask.
Yeah. Because you start thinking, well, I could have said that. And a lot of times the stuff you get from your higher self are things you could have said because, you know, your higher self is you.
Exactly.
So in this case, I actually was arguing with her because I didn't want her to leave. I didn't want her to leave. And what I was getting back from her was that she's ready to go. And like this kind of information, I'm like, now, wait a minute. And I'm even consciously thinking to myself, well, I know I'm not making this up because she's giving me all the wrong answers.
Right? Yeah, I mean, if you're going to talk to yourself in your own head, you might as well get the right answers, right?
Yeah, but now here I am talking to her soul. And you might think, well, is that possible? Yes, of course it's possible. But you know, there was no doubt that I was speaking to her soul because I wanted different answers from her. I wasn't getting what I was hoping to hear from her. Like, you know, so I told her, listen, if this is the truth, this is what you want, this is the way it's going to be, you got to send me a sign that I will definitely know this is the sign that, yes, you're ready to go. And then the next day, like that was late in the evening, and I went home to sleep for a few hours and I went right back to her house. But the first song I hear, it was out a little while ago. I think it's called The Suicide Hotline, but the guy just keeps singing, I just want to die. I just want to die.
Oh, jeez. So,
like this song, I would hear that. Like I heard, you know, and I'd be like, this is a ridiculous song. I'd have to turn it off because who wants to say that? Because you're imprinting your body with everything you say, you know, so I'm imprinting that. Yeah. But this came after I asked the question. And then anytime I put the radio on or something, driving in the car to go get something, come back, that song kept coming on. So I'm like, okay, Joanne, I get it. And wouldn't you know, the next morning I woke up and I knew this is the day she was going to leave. And she did leave that day. I just knew it. Mm. But this is the lead up to another thing. Then some months later, my brother calls me because he has to decide if he's going to put his dog down. And I mean, anyone who's had that experience knows it's not an easy decision.
Right.
You know, and even though they're suffering, it's never easy. So I was talking to him to help him to understand that and explaining to him how animals, they come and go. They're like, yeah, in a body, out of body, in a body, out of body. It's no big deal for them. They just live in that high energy of love. So dying is just part of it. And then you just come back. So I'm talking about all this kind of thing. And then I tell him, I have to go meet a client or something like this. I get in my car, the very first thing, I turn the car on, the ignition on, the radio is on. What song? I just want to die. Right? I'm like, oh my God. I had to call my brother. I'm like, you hear the song? Because he knew about my story with my sister. Mm. And I'm like, this is your sign. You know, your dog is okay with it. It's fine. Don't feel guilt over it. You know, this is what you need to do. And I'll get sometimes like more important things that have to do with my immediate family. I'll get that one from her, that song, if it's something that's, you know, the right thing to happen.
Who'd have thought that a song that as depressing as that could actually be a useful sign, but it got used twice and probably could get used many times.
You know what? I finally listened to the whole song. And at the end, the guy changes his mind, doesn't want to die. I'm like, oh, okay. That's great. But in the meantime, when you know about energy and about how your body is mostly water and it's impressionable, you don't want to be singing stuff like that to you because you're taking it into yourself. So like I rejected that song from the very beginning, and then she gave it to me. I'm like, oh my God, okay.
Well, that's how I ended up with my positive music list, because I was just so sick to death of the lyrics of like 99% of the songs that are out there. I mean, they're depressive. You know, my boyfriend left me. My girl doesn't want to talk to me anymore. She was so great, but now she won't talk to me. And you know, it's like on and on, all this terrible angst and pain and suffering. And it reminds me of a tongue in cheek song that was played on an old country and western TV show you probably remember called Hee Haw. And the song was called Gloom, Despair, and Agony on Me. It pretty much summarizes most of the lyrics that are out there.
You know what? I will have to say, and I don't like listening to songs like that because my vibration isn't there. But for someone going through whatever it is that person's singing about, it can be uplifting to them because they feel understood And by listening to the words, you can actually process your experience a little bit. Because usually people want to pull away from any, you know, from pain or from any experience. You kind of pull away from it. When to heal it, you have to go into it. So even though we don't like those negative sounding songs, they actually, everything has a purpose. Everything has a purpose.
I guess so. I mean, hopefully if you're using it for that purpose, you're not staying and living there endlessly. You're actually climbing out of it. But yeah, if it helps you climb out, sure, I could see that. That makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. But spirit signs, they come in so many different ways. Of course, the easy ones are the feathers and the coins.
Why are those easy?
Oh, because I think, well, for me, that it's so abundant.
Oh.
Receiving feathers and coins, or maybe because I'm so in the groove of it, they come to me all the time.
I can't say I've paid any attention to feathers or coins. I mean, occasionally I see a coin in the parking lot or something, but that's about it.
Yeah, well, so, you know, when you receive coin, especially sometimes it like maybe you have a grandfather who passed or something, and he likes to send dimes, you know, like you see that dime, you think of him immediately, or you were thinking about him earlier in the day, and next thing you know, you get a dime on the street, on your path. Anybody else could have picked it up, but it's there for you.
Mm.
Yeah.
Of course, there's a part of me that would say, if my grandfather were leaving me dimes, my response would be, you couldn't make him $100 bills.
And that will keep the signs away.
That's right. Pretty much.
But you know, for me, I find those to be like really easy ones, or just, you know, messages that come, you're walking through your kitchen and you hear the TV in the other room, and something that is spoken is exactly the answer you needed to hear for something you've been contemplating for the last day or hours or whatever it is.
Actually, Louise has a really fun story along that line. She was at her brother's house, and let's see, I'm trying to remember what the geography was. I think she was up on the second floor, which is where her brother's two sons had their bedrooms. And I think she was visiting with one of her nephews. I'm not sure exactly what. And Paul, her brother, was down in the basement, comes upstairs and says, "Louise, where's Louise?" And the television says, "She's upstairs." So he went upstairs and there she was.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. That's fun.
You know what? I've had after my sister died, the Alexa that they had in their house would randomly speak.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how that thing works, but in whatever the message was, it was the perfect message at the right time.
Really?
So we're like, okay. See, I think that, I mean, you know, my son, my nephew would call me. I'm like, that's your mom talking to you right there. Sure.
Interesting. Yeah. Very interesting.
I've even had like in a session with someone where I'm working on releasing, I don't know, some block or something to something they want to manifest. And I was talking to this person about, how to work with the universe and, explaining pretty much about, law of attraction, that kind of thing. And then my phone, which was off to the side, had the Siri voice come up and say, what do you want? Or something like that. Like at that moment, not like an hour later, you know? Mm-hmm. So here I'm talking about send your message out. The universe will give you exactly what you ask for. So here the universe talks through my phone and asks my client, what do you want?
Right. Yeah.
There's no coincidence. Or even sometimes you're talking about something and then this random loud noise occurs. Or anything that takes your attention is worth looking at. So in those situations, I find when that happens around me, what's going on at the moment when that disruption, I'm referring to a noise now, but it could be something else that takes my attention. Then I look at, okay, what are we doing right now? What am I talking about? There's a message here. And then I find out what it is.
So then I have to ask you said there are no coincidences, which I have thought about quite a bit, and I tend toward that direction, but I still have a little resistance about that, and I'll explain why in a moment. So if there are no coincidences, what would be your response to the question of when is a noise just a noise? Like, when is a sign just a sign? It's not necessarily a sign from spirit, it's just a sign on the highway, so to speak.
When it doesn't resonate. When it is just a noise, it's just a noise if there's nothing that resonates with it. If there's nothing nothing that takes you off and say, wow, that was weird. How did that happen? That's a coincidence.
So it's a sign if it also has an association that you associate with it.
If there's some kind of importance at the moment, or it takes your attention and maybe even puts it directly on something, then that's something, it's like, look here, listen to this, pay attention now. Not like you're just driving in your car and you hear all these random noises in the street for no reason. You mm-hmm. know, like you're having a conversation. Like when my phone went off at that moment and gave that message. You know, I don't even use Siri. Why did it come up? I don't know.
Use Siri.
I don't even know how to use Siri. My son has to show me all the time.
I have to admit, I really like Siri. I love her for sending text messages particularly, because I can just dictate the text message, and with a couple of corrections, I got myself my message without having to thumb type it out.
Oh, I have to try that.
Oh, it's really nice. Let me tell you, it's a great way to send a text. I don't do a lot of texting, but boy, is that a nice, easy way to text.
Yeah. Also, you know, a lot of times you'll just feel a difference in temperature in the room for no reason.
Temperature.
You know, all of a sudden it's a little, you feel a cool breeze or something, and you're like, "What? Where did that come from? All the windows are closed." You know, it's just, it's spirit getting your attention, right? There's energy there with you. It doesn't have to be freaky. I don't want people to freak out about this. Because I haven't encountered any kind of evil energy ever.
I don't
tend to believe that it's there. It could be.
I'm not sure that I would freak out about it so much as I would freak out about, okay, I got all this stuff coming at me. Which ones are the messages? I'm not sure what's going on here. I mean, I'm the kind of person, I want to have like one thing. That's why I like the idea of the song lyrics. If messages always come to me through song lyrics, I can live with that. Now I know what I'm looking for.
Okay, so why don't you make that be your thing? Say, okay, spirit, listen, I can get it through songs. Send me more.
Yeah, I can do that.
But you have to ask. That's another thing. Like, you got to ask, right? Spirit, you have your guides and they're with you, but you have free will, so they can't act for you.
Right.
But you can ask for assistance, and then they can come in and help.
I think I kind of did that when I was getting the song lyrics during my walk today. I think, yes, I said something to the effect of, I like that. I can handle that. That's okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that's good. That'll be yours. I would expect for sure that you're going to get more and more of that. But the thing is, Walt, you know it. Don't go looking for it, because if you get in that energy of it's not happening, then you kind of squash it. It's not allowing it to come, because then you have the resistance. Like my bird story, is this really true? Do I really have this power? Can this really happen? And I got so stuck in having to prove that it can, but from the energy of it's not happening.
So in other words, in a sense, you almost want to treat it like surprise me.
Yeah, just give it up. Like, yeah, let's have fun with this. Let's make it a game, a fun game.
And I do like the idea of lyrics, because I am a very auditory kind of person. And so it's very easy for me. For instance, if you were to say to me, you know, think about the Star Wars theme, not only would I hear the Star Wars theme, I'd hear the full orchestration of it. And if there were lyrics with it, which there aren't, but if there were lyrics, I would hear the lyrics too. So for me, that is a really good way of receiving information. If that's the way they're going to send it, I can handle that one.
Well, you know what? That reminds me of one of my stories I love. Like, yes, totally. So you got that. It's just going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What you reminded me of is like when I first started opening up to channeling, and I was guided to ask your guides what their names are. They don't have to have names, but you can ask. And guides come and go. Like, you'll have guides for a certain period because they're good at helping with this thing, and then you don't have them coming through anymore. You have other ones. So, you know, I don't know how much people pay attention to this kind of stuff, but that's what this show's about today, right?
Sure. I mean, it never even occurred to me. I mean, my sister, I know, has identities for her guys. And I know one at point, I don't know if her mix is still the same or not. I've never questioned that idea. But I know she had an Indian chief, and a couple of past relatives are in there, and some others that she's kind of vaguely referenced. But for me, I didn't even have any idea of who they were.
Right. So I was exploring this, right? Okay, so I have guides, and I'm going to ask for a name. And I remember I was driving home, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this name John comes into my head. I'm like, oh, is this supposed to be one of my guide's names? All right, so I'll take that, John. And then I was, you know, when I got home, I thought, well, I'm going to meditate. I'm going to ask for the, you know, because I felt like there were three. I felt like there were three. And I was trying to figure out, what are these guides' names? And, well, I'll tell that part later. So I come home, I got, get into that meditative space. I'm like, okay, I'm thinking that one of the guides' names is John. So what are the other names? And I'm sitting there and all of a sudden I hear Paul. I'm like, John, okay, John and Paul. And then pops in Ringo. Now, I am not a Beatles fan. I can't even tell you what their songs are. Are you still there, Walt?
I'm here. I muted out for a second. I was laughing, actually, as you were saying that. But oh, my goodness. Okay.
I heard it go flat. That's why I was checking.
No, it was just me. I forgot that I had on mute. Sorry about that.
That's okay. So I get John, Paul, and Ringo. I'm like, oh, my God. You know, this has got to, and again, see, it has to come to me in a way that I can say there's no way I would have made that up. Because there's no way I would have ever said John, Paul, and Ringo. Because, you know, my husband's British. You know, he's English and he's big on the Beatles. I'm like, yeah, I don't get him.
That's funny.
So they come in, John, Paul, and Ringo. And then I started getting a lot of messages through music, just like you're doing. But I would get it in meditation. I'd have this song pop in my head or these. Only a phrase, or sometimes I just get the music. I have no idea what the songs are. And then I have to try to figure it out. And I might get a word and I'll Google and then I'll finally get the song and I'll listen. I'm like, yeah, that's the song. And then I listen to the words. There's the message.
Ah.
That seemed like a lot of work for me at that point, you know, but that was in the beginning when I was still opening up to this.
Well, it kind of makes sense. If you're not one who's mostly into music, that would be kind of a tough way to get messages.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, sometimes it made sense because I knew the chorus so well and that was what the message was.
Right.
Sometimes it didn't. Sometimes I had to explore it a little bit. But now I can't say that John, Paul, Ringo come through all the time anymore. Although I still will sometimes get things in an unexpected way through lyrics. Well, especially with my sister, but I put that separate. That's her. That's not these guides.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. I've had them come through in so many different ways. I'm trying to think of some of the other ones.
I mean, do you have a favorite way of receiving signs, signals, messages?
No. All ways are my favorite because to me, it's like fantastical, right? It's like, it allows me to stay in that space of how anything's possible, right? So you can really be in this open space to not, I think it's helped me by not having to be specific. To number one, receive them in so many different ways.
Mm.
Secondly, it's kind of like very joyful, you know, when you get a message because you're like, wow, this stuff is real. This stuff I talk about, it's for real. At least it's for real for me. Maybe, you know, whatever, right?
What level of consistency or I'm not even sure how to ask the question. Maybe I'll ask it this way. How is there a correlation between how regularly you're able to receive messages when you're in that good feeling place compared to when you're in a down or bad feeling place?
For me personally, I get it more when I am when my energy, we'll put it this way, spirit's a very high energy.
Mm-hmm.
So when your energy is too low, it's harder to receive messages because number one, you're not open.
Well, that's what I would have thought. That's why I asked.
But I can't say that's the way for everybody because some people who are really just so in the flow of that, maybe they can receive it. I'm not saying that it's not possible for everybody. Not that I can't. It's just that most of the times it comes when I'm in a higher vibration. Or let me put it this way. So maybe you do have a heavy energy about some situation going on and you're kind of stuck and it's not going well. But when you finally give it up, then the message comes in, right? Because you just soften that energy. You just raised your vibration by deciding to surrender.
Sure. Makes sense.
Yeah.
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 So it does sound like there is at least some correlation between where you're at vibrationally, emotionally, yeah, and receiving messages. And that does make sense. I mean, I would expect that. It's also a little bit reassuring, to be perfectly honest, because like I indicated earlier on, I've never been particularly good at receiving messages. But I also have to admit, most of the time when I was looking for them, I wasn't feeling good.
Yeah. 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 That's the tricky part because you wanted them. But that's more that desperate energy.
Mm.
I'm calling it desperate, but you know, it's like
it's got like angst attached to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so you're in that really low vibration. I mean, even even like when you want your loved ones to come through, they're always there, but you kind of got to raise. I mean, they're such a high vibration that you kind of have to raise yours to get there. Mm-hmm. Now you can learn how to do that. Your meditation takes you there because you can. I know I can flip from a heavy energy to a high vibration just by pretty much deciding to do it and sitting down and relaxing my body and going into that higher vibe.
Okay, so you've mentioned meditation a few times now, and like I said, it's not something I really had a lot of success with, but let me learn more about yours. I mean, when you meditate, what's your method? How do you go about it? What happens? That sort of thing.
Well, what really helped me was when I was compelled to sign up for this Waken Your Light Body meditation course. I had no clue why, because I didn't think I could meditate, but I did this year-long course that was really out there, and you know, it took me halfway through this year to finally relax enough to let things start to happen for me, because I kept, again, in my mind trying to figure out how does this work? It's not happening for me. And it would be a group online thing, and other people would like be able to they would share their experience, and I'm like, it's not happening for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there I'm comparing myself to how it's happening for them and then trying to make that happen for me. And of course it can't, because I'm trying to do it, number one. So what here it just proves the whole thing of surrender again. So like halfway through the course or more, and my teacher would say, you're getting it, don't worry, it's coming, Linda, it's happening. And then like one class, I'm like, you know what, whatever, just like with my bird story, whatever, I either have the power, I don't have the power, I can see the bird, I don't see, you know, I meditate, I can't meditate, I don't care anymore.
You threw in the towel
at that point. Oh my god, everything, I had so much experience that I couldn't even explain, you know? And then I shared it with my teacher, and she's just kind of giggling, because she's like, yep, you just been holding yourself back by expecting it had to be a certain way, or, you know, trying to compare yourself to everybody else's way. And that's a message I still get from my guides now, is there's no right way, and to keep it simple. So in answering your question, that whole thing helped me, because then I finally decided to just let it be. So I would say for people who want to get started, just don't expect it has to be anyway. It's whatever it is for you. So if you sit quietly and you feel like all I'm doing, I'm hearing outside noise and, you know, nothing's happening, that's okay. Do it again. And you'll find that the more you allow your, and just you connect to your breath. So that'll take you there, right? You just connect to your breath, let your body relax. And all those thoughts that come in and out of your head that can distract you, you can just put them in a little bubble. Like I imagine this little bubble of light, stick the thought in there, blow it away. It's like, I don't need you right now. I can think about you in a half an hour when I'm done meditating. So you kind of making this space where it's just you. So, and guided meditation really helped. So that's another part of it too. So I would listen to other people's guided meditations, and it was part of what I was doing with clients when I was first opening up and was working on doing meditations with them. And then you don't have to do any work. You just sit and listen, and you just let yourself go, and you start to feel this vibration or this energy that is different to how it was when you first sat down. And then you start to realize, oh, there's actually something happening here. And then the more you do that, you get familiar with that energy. So after a while, if you do it a lot, it's easy to find that energy because you know it. Mm-hmm. So you can pretty much take yourself there. For me, my breath, I can just calm myself down by slow, deep breathing and be there.
So some people talk about breathing. Some people talk about calming your mind. And what you're basically saying is no rules.
Yeah, for me, anything I ever teach, there's no rules. There's no rules. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, why should there be? If this is an unlimited universe, then why can't there be a zillion ways to experience something?
Sure. Okay.
Then these 100 that people have found that actually work. So they want to teach just that way for someone else to get it. But maybe that person isn't going to be able to get it that way. And then they think, well, I can't do it.
And tell me again, how do you know when you've got it? You said all the stuff came to you, but can you be more clear about what is it? What came to you? What's the stuff?
You mean like through meditation? Well, when you start to feel the energy different than how you started, I'm going to say it that way.
Okay.
You kind of feel your, you feel, for me, you feel your energy expanding. A lot of times you just feel like you're bigger than your physical body.
Hmm.
You feel expanded, and you are expanded because you're moving out into the fullness of your energy field, not just the part that's inside the body. So it kind of takes you outside of yourself. It's expansion.
Hmm. Okay.
You know, a fun thing, and I'm being reminded right now, so I'm going to share it.
Okay.
I'm being reminded. My guides are telling me, share that one
story. Do it now. Do it right now.
Yeah. So, and I don't think I've talked about this with you so far. So another thing that I found, see, I just started playing with it. So I sat in my backyard and I would just stare at the trees. I have a big yard, lots of trees. Just stare at the trees. You know, kind of like those, remember those paintings with all little dots? And if you stare at it long enough, an image pops out at you.
Oh, right. Yeah.
You have to kind of soften your vision.
Mm-hmm.
So I was doing that and I was just breathing and relaxing, but open eye. I wanted to do this with my eyes open. So I'm looking at the trees and my vision was getting soft like that. And then what I started noticing was everything took on a rhythm. It's like the ground. I used to live in California. If you ever experience a rolling earthquake, everything is like it's on water.
Mm.
You know, like cars, billboards, you know, everything, telephone poles, everything's just flowing as if it's like on water. So I'm looking out at these trees, just staring, soft focus, breathing nice and easy. And then everything started shifting. Like the ground looked like it was rolling like that. The trees, it looked like everything was breathing. It's like I was tapping into this pulse of life or existence. And the colors got really vibrant and almost pixelated. Like not even like, you know, it's like pixelated. Like that's the only way I can describe it.
Yeah.
And then I even had like this huge green glow coming in the center of everything that I'm looking at, kind of like pulsing with this whole thing. I was like, wow, this is really cool. I didn't want it to end. But I was so excited about it that I wanted to run in and tell my husband to have him come out and try it too, you know?
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, if that was one of the first times you had an event like that, that would be pretty overwhelming. Like, oh my God, something happened.
It was so cool. I didn't want it to end. Mm. But I can do that. I can do that easily. Cause then I'm like, okay, I'm going to let that happen again. But without any expectation that it had to be like it was the first time. And so, I mean, you know, try it sometime. Walt, you're in Connecticut. Are you in a wooded area? Cause I think what was nice is that it was all trees. So it was easy to knock it pulled away by other buildings or whatever, different things, you know, stuff in your house, you know, it's like very serene.
I think I kind of do it a little bit when I do my walks because I'm spending a lot of time focusing on nature when I'm doing my walks.
So maybe you can sit down on your walk on a rock or something or whatever it is where you are and kind of do that and just focus in at the landscape or whatever. And just soften your vision and just do slow breathing and just notice if you notice anything a little different. It's just being opening your awareness to notice differences in the frequency or in whatever it is that you're seeing that something got a little brighter. Like a lot of times after I'll guide people through a meditation and then when they come out of it, the colors in the room are more vibrant. They feel bigger and lighter. You know, you feel expanded in some way.
You mentioned guided meditations, and I've been led through a couple by live leaders in the room. Mm-hmm. I've also tried the recorded ones. Recorded ones, quite honestly, they either put me to sleep or give me a headache. I never got anywhere with them. And the ones that I've had in person, there was only one that was really memorable. The others were just, meh, nothing really to it. But the one that was memorable was the first one. And I can't remember exactly what happened, but the gist of it is we were taken on this trip through the galaxy. And I came through the end of it and sat up. I said, whoa, what was that?
Ah, cool.
I had no idea what had happened, but it was very cool.
So can you recall how you were feeling or what it was that made it so cool?
It just seemed like for whatever reason, the way the person who was leading the meditation was leading me in a way that I could easily latch onto. That's the best I can describe it. Yeah. And when I was latched on, whatever she was suggesting I was imagining, which alone was really big for me because as most of our listeners know already, imagining images is not one of my strengths. I don't visualize well at all. I mean, most people can actually, you know, imagine a picture of, you know, a tree or something like that. If I try to imagine a picture of a tree, I get this dull outline as if it were twilight and the lighting is poor and everything's fuzzy and nothing's really clear. I don't know, 10 years ago, something like that, when I first found out people actually really did see clear images, I was astonished. I couldn't believe it. So, you mean people actually see this stuff and I don't? They've actually been seeing it all this time? That's the way it seemed to me, you know? So to have a lead experience where I was actually visualizing and I was seeing what she was saying that I would see and so forth, that I think was probably why I was so overwhelmed by it. Oh my God, I'm actually seeing this stuff.
Yeah. Well, you know, one thing to really note is she was holding space for you and everyone else that she was guiding. So that's what happens. Like when, so, you know, when I do meditation groups, I'm holding this energy for everyone to be, it's kind of, it's like, I'm expanding my energy and combining with theirs to help lift them up so that they can go to these spaces. And that's what happens. So that was what was happening for you, but that can come across even on a recording.
Okay.
Yeah. But you know what I wanted to point out too is, okay, so this thing about seeing, that used to be a hang up for me too, especially in the beginning. I'm like, I don't see anything. It's all dark, you know? Okay. Well, I see colors, you know, that's, you know, you have like these colors come, like you're looking at a lava lamp with all these colors kind of meshing through. That's really cool. I think that's pretty common, but I wouldn't see, like, I'd guide someone through a meditation. Like, oh yeah, my subpersonal personality was wearing shorts and had little socks on and then had beretta in his hair. I'm like, you know, I'm amazed they're seeing so much stuff about this aspect of them that I brought up within the meditation. Whereas I didn't always see that. Sometimes I would, but what I had was just, I don't know if it's just a pattern or a belief of some sort that I couldn't see it, because like right now you still have some cats?
Yeah, we have two cats.
They're not in your room, right?
No.
Can you see what they look like in your mind?
Well, in this case, it's actually fairly easy because they're both black. So I don't have to look for any color. It's just, you know, there's a black shape.
So imagine your car in your head.
Okay.
You know what it looks like?
Kind of, yeah.
Okay. Now you're in your office area. So imagine you're walking into your bedroom and you can see all the parts of your bedroom. What, can you see it?
I can place stuff. I'm not really sure. I mean, I can see little tiny bits of stuff.
But it's thinking, seeing. Like, you know exactly where the bed is. You know where the dressers are. You know where your closet is. You know you can open your closet, see all those clothes hanging, right?
Somewhat. Somewhat. Okay. not really well. I mean, seriously, this is the chronic thing for me that I don't have a good sense of. I mean, if I remember logically where stuff is, then I can start piecing the puzzle together. But if I just go and say, okay, what does it look like? I get nothing.
Okay, so that's the difference, is just connecting to your imagination. So if you can imagine what it would look like, what does it look like? Can you imagine opening the door to your closet? Can you imagine just walking into the room and sitting down on your bed? Can you imagine going outside and opening the car door and getting into the car? I see you doing it as I'm asking you to do it.
You're probably seeing it with more clarity than I am. I mean, I'm trying to do that. I'm trying to see the stuff. Again, it's the same thing. I see these very muted, dark images. And they're not clear. And the detail is really wacky, wacky detail.
You know why? Because I think you're trying to see with your, it's like you're seeing with your physical eyes, not your inner eyes. Because your inner eyes know what all of that looks like. Because it's your inner eyes, your subconscious mind, it's seen it all. It knows it all inside and out.
So how do I connect there instead?
It's kind of like you want to just drop the having to see it as a picture. Because when you can drop having to see it, like with my eyes open right now, I'm looking out my window, I see trees and all that. But if I want to picture my dog, I could totally see him. But I don't see a picture of him. I still see the trees. But I could see him, but he's just an image in my mind. It's not like I'm looking at a painting. But I can still see him. I can see his big Shiloh Shepherd, white hair. I can see how happy he is. I can see his big brown eyes, you know?
Well, I know theoretically. Practically, I'm not sure. No, I don't think I do know practically. I know theoretically, I get the words that you're saying, but I can't connect it yet.
I think if you play with it, you will, because you're already doing it, Walt, and you just don't know it.
Because that wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, there's this mental concept of it. It's like when I was doing that course and thinking it had to be a certain way, I didn't allow it to be my way.
I do know there have been times where, for brief instances, when I was at my most hypnotic state, just waking up or whatever, where for brief instances, I would get very vivid images. The most recent event being about, I don't know, 2 or 3 months ago, where I woke up and it was like I saw a whole bunch of green tennis balls against a blue sky. Really vivid for about a second and a half, and then it was gone.
Yeah. All right.
But that's been the limit so far.
So maybe you can open yourself up to be able to see without having to have a distinct picture.
I always have trouble with that. Open yourself up more. I didn't know I was closed. That's the way it feels like. Open what up? I remember the first time that I was trying to get a feeling for how do you move your emotional set point, way back in the earliest days of my exploring the law of attraction. And I remember hearing you could do that. And I'm saying, how do you do that? And I'd look at my chest and I'd look for like the switch to move to do it. I couldn't find the switch. That was my way of making a joke about the fact that I don't know how to let go. What am I letting go of? I don't even know.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's just getting out of your head and allowing that. The way I put it is, if you were like a 2-year-old kid, you can totally come up with all these stories, 4-year-old, 5-year-old, the young kids, they can just go in that imagination, right? True. And you know what? When they have their little imaginary friends, that's because they're talking to spirit. They don't know that they can't. They can, right? Mm-hmm. It's just until it gets squashed out of us by, well-meaning people.
Right.
I forgot what I was going to say. opening yourself up. If you're struggling with something, then you're not totally open.
Okay.
Put it that way. Yeah. Because, it's because you're confining whatever that thing is to having to be a certain way. Right. So opening up would be to expand to, and actually I would go radical, to expand into the most impossible way it could happen.
Okay.
Yeah. Because then you might get somewhere in the middle and you'll be like, oh, look at that. I didn't know that was possible. But why don't you ask your guides to assist you in seeing on an energetic level or on a spiritual level beyond the mind?
Okay.
Yeah, ask for that. Just ask, let it go. It's out there, I'm asking for you right now if you're in the agreement for it.
I'm trying to get myself there.
That's so funny. See, there's resistance again. I love how resistance shows up.
Oh, yeah. I know the resistance is there. Again, for me, the thing about resistance is I know it's there, but I can't seem to grab it. I can't seem to grab it and throw it away.
So can you actually go back and think about the first time when you doubted something, the possibility of something, or when someone told you it's impossible, it can't be that way? Because that's what happens. Like, you're like a little kid. Like, I remember my son telling me, he was, 3.5, 4 years old. He was going to create this dinosaur, this plane, but it was half dinosaur, like alive, a living dinosaur, and half mechanical plane. And he could see this thing.
Wow.
Did I tell you this story already?
No.
He could see this thing, like, in the details of it and how it actually functioned, right?
Wow.
This is a 3-year-old. And I'm, for me, because I know better, I'm like, wow, I cannot wait until you build this thing, Steel. I want to ride in it.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, someone else might be like, that's impossible. There's no way you could ever do that. It's like, stop thinking about that.
Mm.
And then they guide you to what would be what they think is in your best interest, right? And that doesn't just happen for 3 and 4 year olds. We're talking your whole life.
Oh, yeah.
People try to tell you what is better for you, and it makes you squash your own inner knowing.
Mm-hmm.
So getting back to connecting with spirit, it's a way of you getting back in touch with the truth of you, why you're here. and the unlimited possibilities that exist for you, because we're creators, to create whatever it is you want in your life, right? It always comes back to that.
Well, sure, yeah. And I can see where once I am able to actively receive this stuff and see the images, so to speak, that's going to be pretty big, because that's definitely going to help my creative process. I know that for sure. I've often felt frustrated about, you know, you hear about people, can you visualize that? And my initial reaction is, no, I don't know how to visualize. I've never done it. I've never succeeded in doing it. Well, to know that I could do it, that would be a nice thing. That would be like, oh, wow, I can do this now.
Can you remember back to when you were a kid and you were in school and you had these crazy ideas? And, you know, like can you remember ever being squashed in some way?
Oh, God, yes.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
Well, here we go.
I mean, multiple occasions. I'm not sure that I could pick out a single one, but definitely.
Right.
Yeah.
So all of that experience, because right away you said, oh, yeah. So those, you're still holding the energy of those, and that's what's blocking it from happening for you.
Oh, right? Okay. So somehow that's what I have to let go of.
Yeah. I mean, if you were open to it, I'd gladly give you a sample session to work on that stuff for you, so you can let go, you know, and see how it goes for you, right? Let go of some of that. It's just programming that's in there, or where, because especially when you're young, you trust that those bigger people know better. So if someone squashes something that you were so excited to do or that you thought was possible, and they told you how it isn't, you know, you've given your power away to the bigger person who you think knows better. So,
yeah, and we certainly get a lot of that. There's no doubt.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, that's all stuff. You can release it and you can reclaim your power. You can reclaim more and step into that expanded energy of you as you release. It's like these little blockages they're just energy blocks that prevent you from actually knowing what you know.
Okay. Yeah. I may take you up on that. That sounds like fun. I mean, it certainly would be great to have that kind of connection and, you'll be able to receive more clearly information, particularly when I'm asking questions. That's really what I want. I want what Wendy has, in a sense. I want to be able to communicate, like, conversationally, so to speak, with whoever is on the rest of me, right? Whoever is on the other side. Is it spirit?
Right.
I don't know. Whatever it is. I want to be able to have the communication, because I get the feeling that there's a lot I could get that way. I just found a way to do it.
All of us. But when you start breaking down those walls that make you think that you can't, it just starts growing. And once you start, you can't stop. I mean, that's the whole awakening process, right? When we start awakening to this bigger knowing, you can't shut it down.
Oh, you probably could, because we did before. It's just, would we want to?
No, because you did before, you didn't consciously do it. But when you consciously awaken, spiritual awakening, to the truth of the power of your being, and that you're so much more than just this body and this physical stuff here on the planet, you can't shut that down, I'm telling you.
Okay.
And as that starts happening, more things will show up in your experience that need to be cleared and put and, you know, released from your system, because there's a lot of that stuff in the way. It's the work that I do, right? So I clear this stuff.
And let's be clear about clearing. when we say clear, what does that mean? What is clearing?
I think you've asked me this on both shows. This is the third show, right? Okay. Clearing is just releasing the energetic patterns and programs, limiting beliefs that are operating in the background of your mind, in your subconscious mind. I mean, think about it. You ever drive from one place to another, get there and don't remember how you did it?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because your subconscious mind, I mean, it's good when it's not a bad thing.
No. There's a lot of automatic processes that are very valuable to us,
which are great. We just want to release the ones that hinder you.
Right.
So that stuff is always there until you consciously look at it and release it. So that's why, you know, healers can do that.
So
anybody can do it. You just have to, you know.
So that's what clearing is. Clearing is just releasing the unwanted part of that. The unwanted automatic stuff.
That's right.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Well, that makes some sense.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, this is interesting. It's been an interesting discussion. We have about 5 minutes left, and before we finish up, there are a few messages I want to put out to people. First, there's something I've been asking people to do for the last few days, and it's already bearing fruit. I wanted to do an experiment, Linda, where I ask our listeners, because we have a lot of loyal listeners who listen to virtually every episode, I wanted to ask them to start just putting out a message someplace on your favorite social media channel that includes the phrase loatoday.net. And I wanted to do it just to see what would happen with our listenership. Would I see it in terms of people visiting the website? What would I see? And after about 3 or 4 days of doing this, we are seeing a significant increase in the number of episode plays. Interestingly enough, I don't have a clear sign that there's a big jump in the number of individual listeners. There seems to be a small one in there. It's almost like there are a small handful of new listeners who are downloading like virtually every episode we've ever done, which is probably, you know, 500 episodes or something like that. But nevertheless, it is starting to happen. And what that tells me is there's probably a very small percentage, maybe like 1% or 0.5% of our listeners who've actually done that. They put something out on social media. So I'm trying to encourage more people to do that. And I would encourage you to do it over the next week or so, because I think it's going to actually help build the numbers of the people listening to the show and bring more people in who just don't even know about us. I mean, the one thing that I do know, when somebody finds us and they subscribe, they stay subscribed and they keep downloading and they keep listening to all the episodes, because all the numbers we get tell us that is very, very clear. So it's really just finding more people so they know, you know, do they want to check it out and see if it might be something that they're interested in. And that's why I figured, you know, doing the social media thing. So that's one thing I'm asking for. That's for the people who are already our loyal listeners, and we love every single one of them. Now, for people who are brand new, or maybe this is like the first or second episode they've listened to, we also want to encourage you guys to become subscribers, which, by the way, it turns out is really, really easy to do. All you have to do is go to the homepage of our website, loatoday.net, and the instructions are right there. If you aren't somebody who really likes browsing to websites, you're not even sure where the browser is on your smartphone, don't worry, we can take care of you too. If you're on an iPhone, just go to the iTunes store and do a search on LOA Today. Or go, if you're on an Android phone, go to the Play Store. Again, do a search on LOA Today. iPhones have a built-in app for listening to podcasts, so chances are you're probably good if you have an iPhone. If you have an Android, chances are your Android doesn't come with an app like that. So first things first, go to the Play Store and look for a podcast app. There are a lot of them out there. Some of them have a fee, some are free, but I always like going with the free ones, but you know, you can do what you want. But pick one, install it, and then use that software to go find LOA Today, and you'll find it that way. But whichever kind of device you have, make sure you do it, because, like I said, the people who subscribe, they are loving the show. They're just, you can tell it in the numbers, Linda. I mean, literally, on average, we put out 45 shows a month, on average. Mm-hmm. And out of those 45, probably the average listener listens to about 35 to 40 of them by the last count that I had. So they're listening to almost all of them. And we know that they're listening on average to about 90% of the podcast, which means that for every 10 people, if you have one person who listens for a minute, that means the other 9 people are listening to the entire podcast. Right? Yeah. You know, yeah. So, I mean, they're just loving it. People are eating it up. Would you believe, Linda, we have binge listeners? We have people.
That's awesome.
You know, I mean, they line them all up on their phone, and then they'll just listen hour after hour after hour, like they were watching a bunch of episodes from a TV series or something.
Yeah, it's that's so great. Cool. Well, because I'm sure it's uplifting them, or they wouldn't be doing it.
Well, exactly. Yeah. So
posting them on my YouTube channel.
Oh, good. Good.
I'm doing that every week, and yeah, that's cool.
Well, everybody who does that.
Can I share my website?
Yeah, please do. Yeah, in fact, not just your website. How does somebody reach out to you? Because there are probably some people who are listening who would like to have help clearing energy. So how do they reach you?
So you can always go to my website, which is lovemylife.coach. You can find out how to connect with me on there. You can email me at linda@lovemylife.coach. You can find me on YouTube under Linda Armstrong. You can just put in there energy healer or life coach and you'll find me. Could be a pretty common name. So
but there's only one Linda Armstrong as far as I'm concerned.
the Linda Armstrong.
The Linda Armstrong. That's right. Linda, this has been great. The only sad part is that we're at the end of the show, but hey, I look forward to talking to you again next Friday.
Yeah, me too. Great.
And we hope that you'll join us next time as well here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.